A few years ago, a fitness gym opened in Midland that claims to be a judgment-free zone. This national franchise advertises that it doesn't matter if you've never used fitness equipment before, the workout is completely up to you. They claim that it's important for everyone to feel like they belong, and so the staff will cheer you on in your endeavors. The gym website then goes on to state, "We create an environment where you can relax, go at your own pace, and just do your own thing without ever having to worry about being judged." Doesn't that sound like heaven? Wouldn't it be wonderful if there really, truly was a judgment-free zone? And I'm not just talking about a gymnasium. I'm talking about being free from judgment all the time. Imagine what it would be like if you didn't have to worry about other people judging you for your appearance or your weight, your sexual orientation, your gender identity, your religious beliefs, or your political affiliations. But the reality is, there is no such thing as a judgment-free zone. There isn't anyone who gets through life without being judged by others. For many of us, the sting of judgment happened early on in our childhood development and probably has happened off and on throughout our adult lives. And if we are as honest as the children this morning, we would admit that all of us, at one time or another, has judged another person. Please note that I'm not referring to the kind of judgments individuals need to make in order to maintain their safety or their health. I'm referring to the kind of critical judgments that people make regarding more superficial things, such as appearance or preconceived notions about who that individual might be. This issue of judging others must be at least 2,000 years old because it is the topic that Paul is addressing in his letter to the Romans. A portion of that letter Mia just read for us a minute ago. In this section of Paul's letter, he's addressing his concern about a crisis that's taking place in that church. You see, there are some members of the church who come from the Jewish tradition. These individuals believe that it's important to follow the laws and the traditions of the Jewish faith. These laws include dietary laws that have something to say about how meat is prepared so that it's considered kosher. There are some members of the church in Rome who will only eat vegetables because they're afraid of how the meat has been prepared for the latest potluck dinner. These same individuals believe that it's important to observe all of the Jewish holy days. Now, there are other members of the church who come from the Gentile world and have no connection to the traditions of the Jewish faith. They're not concerned about how meat is prepared or which days should be set aside as holy. Paul instructs the people to stop judging each other over such issues as food and holy days. He reminds the people that they are united in Christ and that they are to live for one another. Rather than judging each other, the church members are told to encourage each other. In the same way that God welcomes all people, so should the members of the church welcome others. You see, every person is invited to explore his or her faith and beliefs in an environment that is free from judgment. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be differences of opinion. Rather, it means recognizing that people can hold radically different beliefs and still be faithful members of the church. Paul encourages the people to stop demonizing each other and to respectfully disagree with each other. You see, Paul knew that if the people were going to continue judging each other and causing division, the church would eventually break up, and they would no longer be able to effectively share the love of God with the world around them. Now, Bert, during Bible study this past week, one of the participants asked me if there was a particular issue going on in our church that caused me to choose this passage to focus on. I assured that individual that this was not the case. I was drawn to this passage because the issue of judging each other is an issue that affects all of us. Not only does judging happen in our personal lives, judging is taking place all of the time in the greater world. People are constantly demonizing one another in regards to such issues as nationality, sexual orientation, race, and political affiliation. Now, I don't have to tell you that when individuals are judged, they often feel diminished and demoralized. For some people, this destroys self-esteem. For other people, they go into isolation and remove themselves from community. Those individuals who are doing the judging of others often create a false sense of superiority. I have a feeling that in many cases, they are trying to hide their own fears of being judged. In the case of churches, judging leads to disunity and eventually to the destruction of the organization. So, just as Paul invited the members of the church in Rome to strive towards a higher ideal as a church, so are we called to do the same. While it would be impossible to create a truly judgment-free zone, it's a wonderful goal to strive for. What does such a zone look like? Well, it begins by recognizing that judging is a common human experience. And when we realize that we're doing it, we can put a stop to it in our own heads. We can then work to welcome all people into the church, just as God welcomes all people. Now, here in the United Church of Christ Midland, we are very proud to proclaim that we are an open and affirming church. We've made a public statement about inclusion, which is a great thing to do, but it's not some place that we have arrived at. It's a goal. We're constantly striving to be open and affirming of all people. A judgment-free zone is also one in which people are free to explore their faith without fear of being criticized or ridiculed. The people in this congregation come from so many different faith traditions and so many different life experiences. As the Apostle Paul acknowledges, devout people can hold radically different beliefs and still be faithful members of the church. Working to create a judgment-free zone also involves taking the time to really listen to each other so that we can learn what it is another person is thinking, so that we can learn who that person truly is. We don't have to adopt another person's beliefs, but we can take the time to show our respect to that person. And like the fitness gym that claims to be a judgment-free zone, we could serve as cheerleaders for one another. We could cheer one another on as we struggle with life and as we continue to grow in faith and service to God's kingdom. We could cheer one another on and build one another up. Sometimes we're amazed in our staff meetings when we find out that the music that the director of music has picked actually goes with the theme of the sermon. And today was one of those incredible messages, those circumstances, those coincidences. So whether or not you got the message from the anthem or you got the message from me, know that there is no such thing as a judgment-free zone. But isn't it wonderful that we have the opportunity to work for that ideal in this church? May God continue to guide us in this endeavor. Amen.